Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Sacrifice ourselves at the altar of dubious cuisine, so you don't have to. Sometimes we eat weird little tacos made of imported strange meats from dingy hole-in-the-wall type places. It's because we want to let you know when there's a new wonderful thing. And of course, sometimes it's so I can torture Marcus by tricking him into eating something.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we go just a whole hour doing silly things that nobody in their right mind would do. It's safe to say that we do take our job very seriously, and today is no exception. So when we decide to do a show on fermented stuff, we go ahead and make sure that we've consumed a wide variety of fermented beverages. So as to give you loyal listeners the most authentic experience possible. I mean, we want to make sure you get your money's worth. You're paying for this, right? What, you're listening free? Marcus, you were supposed to get everyone's credit card info.
You got me pickled first.
Oh, all right. I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm just kidding, folks. We'd do this show free if we could, but then who would pay for my fermented beverages? So, Thanksgivica is now over, and boy, am I stuffed. I ate so much turkey, I'm starting to gobble and peck seeds off the floor. It's weird. Actually, I'm thinking about maybe putting me in the roasting pan and roasting myself. I'm already stuffed.
That's true.
So, next up, Christmas!
Yay!
It's the second to last stop in the Festivus season. We had Halloween, then Thanksgivica just now, next Christmas, then the huge alcoholic blowout known as New Year's Eve.
Yay!
That's a lot of yays.
It's very happy. Christmas
you're
presents,
on a lot of
alcohol.
Fermented. Marcus is on a lot of fermented things. Let's say you had beer and alcoholic tea.
Yes.
Alcoholic iced tea. That was pretty interesting.
That was neat. I like
very tasty. It's
very
like regular
minty.
Iced tea.
The mint really throws me, though, in it. It kind of throws me off when you have
fermented mint. Well, then you went a little overboard with that bottle of mulled wine.
Well, of course. I mean, fermented wine with herbs and spices, and I chased that with kombucha. So now I think I'm growing mushrooms in my body.
No problems. You're growing mushrooms somewhere. This is really turning out to be a real ride, this Festivus thing. Today on Food Fight, we'll be discussing the cruelest foods out there with a segment called Give a Hoot, Don't Balut. Balut being the very popular Filipino staple where they take a fertilized duck egg and they cook it. Mm. They hard-boil it. It's like a hard-boiled egg, only it's got a fertilized duck egg embryo in it. Oh. And it's developed about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
4 to 5 weeks, I think, is the standard thing. Whole factories make this. Everyone in the Philippines eats these things every day. They don't have kitchens. They have street food. And on the street, there are tons and tons of little factories, hole-in-the-wall places. Just about every single Filipino person eats at least one of these every day. So, like a million people.
Yeah.
Can't be wrong.
But they're small.
They're little people.
They're little
people. I don't know if they can get big eating food of this kind.
No.
But, well, folks, it's barbaric, and it's completely unnecessary practice. And the people who eat balut, kids, grown-ups, they eat it because it's a cultural thing. It's a traditional thing. It's not any healthier than a hard-boiled egg.
No.
However, it is a duck egg, and that makes it automatically big and freaky and dinosaur-looking.
Yes.
Before we dive into the two balut that I have purchased for my good friend Marcus here, who is already starting to turn green, before we eat these in studio, we're going to chat for a little minute while we stare at the balut and talk about other cruel, horrible food traditions.
Yes.
Now, we were looking at some of these on YouTube, and you can too, and you will cringe the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Flash fried live fish.
That broke my heart.
It was so sad. I actually almost started to cry. Now, we know that fish don't have much of a brain.
No.
But one would assume that as a living creature, they do feel pain.
Yes. That's
because
how you know.
You're supposed to retreat from pain. It's a good warning sign that something is wrong. So just about everything has the ability to feel pain. Whether or not trees or plants do, that's questionable. But anything that has an arthropod arthropod brain, which is the supraesophageal ganglion we talked about in a previous show when we were talking about bugs. Just about everything in the ocean, shy of a shark or a whale, has this type of brain. It does feel pain.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been proven. Yeah,
it's the basic brain.
Yeah, it's run away from this, and this other thing is food, so go toward this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a simple brain. It's really all they need. And that, and they have to know when to spawn. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So they feel pain, and they probably feel it very well. So what they do with this, and it's Chinese that do this.
It's a big thing too.
It's a Chinese thing.
Yeah. It's a contest.
There are competitions.
Yeah.
Who can make the fish suffer the most? No. It's who can do it the fastest and present the meal to the customers while it's still breathing.
If
the fish is not breathing when the customers bite into it with their little picking chopsticks, you have failed.
Yeah.
You failed the competition. So, of course, torturing the fish quickly and getting it onto the plate and covering it with sauce is imperative. What they do is they take the live fish out of a tank of water.
Mm-hmm.
They scale it.
Have you seen scales? It's like a bent saw, and they rub it against the grain to pull all the scales. If you don't know what a scale is.
So it's like removing someone's skin.
It's like removing a bunch of fingernails. Like, it's the same type of growth. So
rip all those off.
Rip all your
fingernails
off.
You're on a wooden cutting board. Now, you are the fish.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the position of the fish here. You are the fish.
You're the fish.
Someone is holding you by your head.
Yeah.
And has placed you down on a block of wood and is now scraping all the skin and stuff off your body.
Yes.
Both sides. Now, they'll flip you onto your side, and they make shallow cuts with a cleaver.
Yes,
it's very sharp cleaver.
Yeah.
Very, very sharp. Like a razor blade or a samurai sword would be like
the
equivalent.
Muscle. Nothing, no vital organs.
Right, because you don't want to kill the fish.
No. You want it to stay alive.
It's shallow,
muscle.
But you want it to cook quickly. The best way to do that is to create narrow slices along its side. So then they do that, and then they will pick you up by your head and then drop you into a wok of boiling oil.
Now, they do keep the head out of the oil, because if the head goes under, the fish is
they continue
the
to hold your head.
So they hold your head. So your head's out.
Your head's out.
Scream,
you're just
you
being
can.
Tortured from like the chest down.
Yeah.
I think would be about it. And then they flash fry you.
Yeah.
Both sides very carefully, not to hurt themselves, because they want to hurt the animal. They don't want to get hurt themselves.
They don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Skinning,
filleting,
and frying you alive.
And then they put you on a plate.
And then they pour.
With a sprig of parsley. And then they put tomatoey, acidic, and citrusy dressings on you so it hurts more.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
And then if you think, okay, at least I'm cauterized because I was in the fry oil. Well, you're going to take a bite out of this fish and open up fresh flesh.
They take the chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing here is that this dish needs to be eaten while the fish is still breathing. So it's the first dish to come out. It's the first thing people eat. They whip up those little chopsticks and they start picking at the poor little suffering creature's meat.
Yes.
While it's breathing and staring at them.
This is really unnatural. Every mammal out there that kills other animals and eats them...
It dispatches them before it starts to eat them.
All of them. The only thing that doesn't is insects. Insects will eat you alive.
Well, you're talking about praying mantises. They do that when they're mating.
Well, even bugs will eat things without killing them. We'll just go in and eat, you know...
Bugs are even more simple than fish.
Yeah, so
what
we're doing is we're reverting from a mammal...
I'd say we're de-evolving.
That's what I was saying.
It looks like an art form. They put on fancy sauces. They have impressive-looking chefs. I watch this, and I've eaten food from everywhere and some very strange things, and I'll try darn near everything at least once. But you know what? I will not eat this.
I can't
be responsible for the suffering of an animal.
Yeah.
And that brings us to foie gras.
Foie gras
isn't necessarily cruel. People are slicing the fishes and flash frying them and priding themselves on the eating of the fish while it's still breathing, all wide-eyed and suffering. With the ducks and the foie, you're feeding... Okay, these animals are going to be killed.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, you are basically feeding the animals. Granted, you're feeding them a lot and probably not during the normal gorging season where they would do it to themselves, but you're not hurting them.
No.
No, you're using tubes that go into their trap.
Yeah.
Food trap.
Yeah.
Okay. These are ducks that would just as easily and quickly and willingly gorge themselves were it the season for them to just about to migrate.
Exactly.
Do they mind being fed out of season? Probably not so much. Probably not so much. If you don't mind eating a lobster, you should not mind eating foie gras.
I agree.
And I like the way that I make lobster even the best. Makes me feel like even less of a jerk for eating a live animal and having to kill it myself. I put them in warm water and slowly heat it up. It gets a little bit warmer, they fall asleep. Their muscles are loose, they're in a coma, you have even tastier, tender lobster, and now you haven't been responsible for the even momentary suffering of an animal.
I put it in the freezer, they fall asleep. When I pull them out, I take a knife, go right through the brain cavity. Done.
Great.
Yeah.
See, that's nice.
Humane.
We want to eat the lobster, but we don't want to make an animal suffer.
Yes.
We don't suck. Anyone out there who's eating authentic stuff in like a Chinese restaurant, you suck. You do. Another one, live octopus.
Oh.
Just as cruel, just as nasty. It is required to be squirming around on the plate in little pieces by the time you start picking at it.
Yeah, dipping it.
Now, they chop it up. Now, this animal is dead. It is.
It is?
It's dead. What it's doing is it's a reflexive contraction of the muscles that control the tentacles and the muscles that go down the tentacles. This is a dead animal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's made to look alive.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then another one that's really messed up is live lobster sushi.
Yeah.
They chop the tail off the live lobster and it twitches all around. Then the head gets plunged into boiling water, takes a second to die in there because they want the tamale for the sauce and they want the lobster meat claws.
Yeah.
You know, that's they're not going to eat those raw. It's only the tail of a Maine lobster which gets eaten raw. The tail, which has been sitting on the counter while you're doing this, it's still going.
Yeah, it's still flapping.
It flaps. It curls up and twitches. It's not attached to the lobster anymore. It's not feeling any pain because the little arthropod brain went into the pot with the head, you know, but it's the twitchy reaction that gives the impression of being alive, and that's what makes the people happy. That is what makes people happy. The fact that they cause this reaction, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. It's primitive. And anyone in any culture, I don't care how traditional it is or it's like, you know, proof that the food is fresh, whatever. It's still wrong for a human to want to experience that. And you should get the crap beaten out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. You should. Or possibly you should be eaten alive by a giant octopus.
There we go. That's fair.
And here is another nasty one. It's balut.
Oh, jeez.
Which, you know, at least you're not eating the animal alive. I mean, these are dead before they are, you know, they're cooked. They're hard boiled. It's no different than what we do to a lobster. And that's the only reason we'd consider eating it here live and in studio, because we are not going to be responsible for the suffering of any animal. And they eat about 4 million of these per day, I think, is their estimate. Balut. Now, so we've got these duck eggs. Marcus is you know what? We're going to have to take a quick commercial break.
Yeah,
when we come back, Marcus and I are going to eat balut, and I think Marcus really needs to take some Pepto-Bismol or something to bring back the color in his face. We're going to eat balut on Food Fight Radio when we come back.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa, hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout, knockoutpizzamiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata? Roast beef with Dijon sauce? Roasted red snapper? Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
To Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Blair Katz. And with me in studio is a man who's just a bit smarter than a bag full of hammers. Oh, Chef Marcus.
I don't know about that one.
I say that, folks, because we're about to eat balut.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It stinks so bad.
Marcus is freaking out. It's weird. Yeah. So we spent the commercial break while you were listening to those wonderful commercials and advertisements. We were peeling our balut. Now, the experience of opening my egg is somewhat a little bit different than Marcus's.
Yes.
I assume there's something disgusting on the inside. Marcus's egg looks like, what does that look like to you?
It looks like someone ate a baby duck and vomited it on a big fat egg yolk.
And then shaped it into a circle.
That has a bunch of bangins.
That's sick.
Because the yolk is here.
That is nasty, bro.
So I think this is going to be twins. Ew. And, gross.
Oh, there's its eye looking at me.
Eye. There's an eye.
that's
messed up. Oh.
Yeah, that's a fully formed.
We're looking at this is wrong. This is, don't eat that part. Eat around that part. Eat around it. Eat around it.
It's mush. I have to just take a bite.
All right. Well, anyway, we put copious amounts of salt on these things. See, salt. You need salt. We're doing a segment on salt.
Like it is.
You know what? Okay, on three.
Oh, God. Okay.
Ready?
Oh,
balut.
Wait. Get your camera. Take a picture of this before I eat it.
This is going to crap up the website badly. And they don't smell nice.
Oh, no, they don't.
They have a smell that is, I don't know, it's well, with the... Ew, back it up a little bit. That's too close. Too close. Ew, you look so unhappy in this picture. We're going to put this on the website. because we have to. We put the trash can here by Marcus just in case something foul happens.
I'm going
to
move the trash can.
Yeah, let's grab that thing.
It's recycling, which is what I'll be doing if I eat it.
I think that thing has already been recycled, my friend.
Recycled.
All right. On three. Don't be a wuss.
I'm not being a wuss. I'm going to do it. I just don't want to.
All right. My mine thing is different. All right. Go. Wow. Delicious, right? Spit it out. Spit it out. Really horrifying, huh?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh.
Oh, God. You got a mint.
Yeah.
Okay. Folks, I do not have a baby duck.
Oh, you have an egg.
I have an egg.
You tricked me on purpose. I noticed there was a dot on mine. I didn't see on yours.
Yeah, you know.
You did that on purpose.
Yeah, well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't have a baby fetal duck in my egg, folks. That looks like what I have here is just a regular hard-boiled duck egg.
You don't have a duck. Oh,
that's that is tough luck for me.
Mean, horrible. I quit. I quit. Oh.
All right. You know what? Well, I was going to take a bite out of your egg, but you already threw it in the trash, so I can't.
Well, lucky for you.
Lucky for me. That's a tasty duck egg, though. Here, have a bite of this because it's so much tastier.
No.
He is never going to touch another duck egg for the rest of his life, folks. And you know what? When I bought these, they had little cafe tables standing off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people sitting at them, and they were selling hot balut, ready to go. And handing it out, and your eyes are bloodshot and like red.
Oh, yeah.
They're eating them. They were just sitting there eating them. Just sitting there.
Where'd you buy these?
I got these at the street fair on Mira Mesa Boulevard.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of tasty things. But They also have a couple of ethnic foods. And in the area of Mira Mesa, I guess there's a high Filipino population.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very popular street food, I guess, back home.
Can I have one of your paper towels just to clean up this mess?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yours wasn't wet.
There you go.
I opened mine up, and it was just liquid poured out.
I think that was part of the baby duck.
Part of the baby duck, probably.
Well, it was liquefied. You need to, he spat that out, obviously, and he's going to probably hate me for the rest of my life.
No more than normal, but yeah.
We do all kinds of selfless things on this show for your enjoyment. See? Mark is here, just ate balut. Just for you listeners. See, I've made you a hero.
Yes.
To the listeners. No one else would eat that. I saw kids eating that.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe, and when I was looking at the picture, if it was firmer...
But I don't, you know what? I don't think this is an acquired taste. I think it's disgusting all the way around. I think these people are just so pent up with the idea of not dying of starvation that they'll eat darn near anything.
Well, that's fair.
They have the regular duck eggs. They do. They have the regular.
Yeah, you have one right there.
There were just as many of these as there were of balut. And I asked the guy, Marcus is looking at me with this seething hatred. It's like, I can feel this poisonous ray of hate coming from Marcus's eyeballs. God, you didn't have to swallow it now, did you?
No. But I had to really try because, or not, I'd be a wuss. You know,
I had to spat that out instantly.
Oh, no. I had a gag reflex. I was trying to swallow it.
I have new respect for Andrew Zimmern because he eats these things all the time.
Now I'm wondering why he doesn't have a gag reflex. There's
a
rumor.
He just doesn't.
There's a rumor.
He just doesn't have a gag reflex. I don't know. Maybe he had it removed. Huh? Can you do that? Can you have your gag reflex surgically removed?
Yeah, it's
your
uvula, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the little thing that hangs in the back of your throat.
That's what it does?
Yeah.
It just dangles there.
When you put your finger in your mouth and you touch that, that's what makes you gag. It's something to say, that's too big, get rid of it.
You think Andrew Zimmern had his uvula removed?
I wouldn't be
surprised.
So
that he could swallow? It's still going to taste bad and smell bad. I mean, won't that make you hurl?
Maybe he shaves his tongue.
That's so weird.
I don't know.
That's a conversation for another day. You know what? We're going to move on. We're going to move on now that, that garbage is going to really stink. Here, close that bag so that no one else has to suffer like you did, particularly me.
We'll put it right next to you.
And now, cooking with beer for kids. I can't wait to read the emails that come back on this one. This is going to be great. That's 888-344-1170 for anyone who wants to get involved in the conversation. But you can't. We don't take calls on this show. We would. It's just that, we don't care to hear what anyone thinks.
We don't want people slowing down our flow.
Yeah. I mean, we have a thing here, obviously, and I can't have anyone disrupting my pranks on Marcus. So.
Yes.
So cooking with beer for kids.
For kids. Okay. Yeah. So this is very... very fine. What you do is poaching any chicken works. Any fish works. Kids eat that, of course. That's not what we're talking about. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah, just show me that. So now with any pancake mix, any waffle mix, any cake mix, there's liquids added. As opposed to adding a liquid, like if you're in a rush and you're using a Krusty's for some reason, add beer instead. It will add more leavening and be nicer. But what I have up and I'm putting up on the website is a beer chocolate cheesecake with a pretzel crust.
See, that sounds great. I think it would go wonderfully with balut.
Yes. You know what? That's what I'm getting you. I'm getting you a bunch of balut
cheesecake.
And disgusting. I won't tell you what's in there. I'm just going to put little ones in there and cook it and then give you a slice.
You know, that baby duck didn't even look like a duck.
That's what messed me up the most. It was just an eye and mush.
It was like a brain creature from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was completely freaky. And I don't mean to break topic here, but, I'm nibbling away at this perfectly tasty hard-boiled duck.
My last show. Good. Thanks, everybody.
You know, it's twice the size of a regular chicken egg, and therefore, I like it more. It's like, moving on to beer for kids.
Beer for kids.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about cooking with it. We are not. It's the fermented show, folks. Give us a little slack. We got nice and fermented before we came in today. It's festivus season. We're trying to enjoy it as much as possible, and so am I, which is why I'm tricking Marcus into eating baby fetal ducks.
You can
make some wonderful recipes with beer.
Yes.
The alcohol cooks off.
Yeah, don't worry about baking with it.
It does. It just makes things more moist. Why?
Why? Because it has the grains in it and the liquid, of course. But the barley and the hops will hold on to more of the moisture when it cooks out. So it'll give it a little deeper flavor. It won't make them hungry for beer. Don't be scared.
You're not going to turn your kid into a future alcoholic.
No, no. You've already
you
done
won't.
That.
Yeah. I love how Marcus loosens up when he's nice and lubricated on fermented beverages and balloons.
Yeah. So you add the beer to leaven it more, to make things more cake-like.
Like mayonnaise.
Like mayonnaise. I was just going to bring that up, but for a totally different reason.
You know, if you're okay putting mayonnaise in cake, you know, and it's good. You can put mayonnaise in cake. You can put it in chicken. You can put it in stuffings. It's really good in most things. Sure, it adds unnecessary calories. What doesn't? But you can do the same sort of stuff with beer for the same reasons. So if you're okay putting mayonnaise in stuff, if you're okay putting soda in things, put in like a Coke chocolate cake, it's not delicious.
Yeah, if you make Coke chocolate cake, you can make beer chocolate
cake. Really, do it with beer.
Yeah.
The alcohol won't be in there. No. The cake will not taste like beer.
And if you ever go to an ethnic market, they do have fermented soda. So it's beer, but made with no alcohol. In your European markets.
What is the point of that?
Well, people love to drink it. It's a little sweeter. It's like beer soda. And
but,
people drink it all the time.
No benefit. No benefits.
What,
I mean,
what
you
does
don't
soda
get the...
benefit you?
Well, no, it doesn't. Yeah. But then again, I don't drink soda. But then again, I don't eat balloon. Yeah. So. Get a pick on me.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's sweet and it's fermented or, you know, grains, which people have a lot of. And you can drink that soda and you're fine.
And if you have any leftover beer, you can just drink it.
Yes, or make a burr beer, which is
you can do beer cheesecake, beer regular cake, cupcakes, muffins, any bread type item. It will make it more, sweeter and, softer and moister and doughier.
Yeah, yeah. That, and it's like adding more
all the
more
stuff
grains
we love about
it.
Gluten. It'll enhance those. It'll enhance those things. You can add beer to any braising liquid and into most soups. There's a beer cheese soup out there that's truly wonderful, especially for winter. You can improve desserts with beer, obviously. So I recommend that you do a little experimenting.
What's great is Corona. Use that instead of water when making lime jello.
Ooh, that
people,
sounds good already.
Everybody loves that. And all the alcohol is cooked out.
Plus, it's lime jello, so it's like a cute take on, you know, but you put a lime in the Corona.
You can put anyone you want, but beers go great with jello.
That sounds really, really good. I'm going to try that instead of the champagne that I normally use to make the bubbly jello.
Yeah.
Because it'll combine two of my favorite things, beer and beer.
Oh, there you go.
Right? Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, you'll learn about the best and healthiest salts, what they do for you, and where you can get them. If you say Williams-Sonoma, I'll hunt you down and gut you like a fish. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm Claire Katz. You know that in winter time, people actually crave salty food more than they do any other time of the year?
No.
They do. And you also crave rich, fatty foods.
Now, well, that makes sense.
It may be because we all feel a bit more self-indulgent around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be because all those extra treats are always around, and they sell more of them in the stores, and they're all on sale. And, of course, we can't resist goodies on sale.
Mm-mm.
Or possibly it's because more salt makes you retain more water, you know, and during the break, I finished off that duck egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to notice that the yolk is gigantic.
Yes.
That is a big yolk.
Yeah.
That was a big freaking yolk. But I ate the yolk because there wasn't a baby fetal duck in it. And it looked tasty like a regular chicken egg yolk. So I ate the whole thing. And you know what? It was way better than a chicken egg.
Well, yeah, they probably have a better diet. They probably exercise more and thus create a better product.
The egg white's tastier. The egg yolk is tastier.
Mm-hmm.
You could make some dinosaur-like stuffed eggs, like deviled eggs.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. Or
anything you can do with a chicken egg, you can do better with a duck egg. I'm starting to think so.
Yeah. Why don't we have a duck farm?
We maybe should just do a show on duck eggs.
Ooh, that sounds
like
fun.
We'll just get a bunch of duck eggs, the non-fertilized kind that will make you hurl, and we'll do a bunch of stuff with them for a week, and then we'll report on it. And because you can't use them for recipes, because you'll way overshoot the amount of egg you use, because these things are twice the size of a small chicken egg, like a small medium.
You only need two for an omelet.
Yeah. They'd be so tasty. They're way better than a chicken egg. Mm. I'm converted. Marcus, on the other hand, still hates me.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. But I'll make you a nice duck egg omelet.
Yeah, that sounds
and
good.
And to make it up to you.
Yeah.
So more salt makes you retain water, and all the extra calories also make you gain weight. So your body thinks it's doing you a favor by making you fatter, because during winter, your body still thinks you live in a cold mountain cave while wearing bare skin for warmth, and only the bigger people would survive the cold.
Yeah, exactly.
This is especially true for women, lucky us, because you may be pregnant or trying to get pregnant, and in addition to just normally needing the extra fat to stay warm, but you really need more extra fat to nourish and better protect a baby. So until, say, maybe a few million years in the future, when we've been able to breed out this natural physical tendency thanks to our caveman roots, you really have to rely on good old-fashioned willpower to deny yourselves all these tasty and salty things if you want to stay slim. And right now, folks, that's really hard to do. Personally, I like to pair my salty or sugary treats with the other wintry tradition, drinking lots of alcohol, namely beer and wine. It goes very well. Now, it's hip right now, even to pair chocolates with fussy wine. They have tastings for all those kinds of things. So sugar is sugar, but is salt just plain salt?
No. So there's a bunch of different salts out there now, and people are realizing salt is a lot like sugar, where if it's white and pure, it's garbage and bad for you. Sodium chloride is sodium salt chloride. It's been bleached. So anything that might be good for you in the salt is gone.
Totally gone.
So table salt's gone.
Don't buy table salt. It's cheap.
It's
everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Table salt, is that the same thing as the iodized kosher salt?
Now, iodized salt has iodine in it. And if you don't eat fish or you don't get iodine anywhere else in your diet, you need it.
Yeah.
You need it or your throat will swell up and you'll have a goiter and you'll look like a frog.
You could die.
Yeah.
Salt deficiency.
You'll catch yourself before that.
Yeah, well, iodine deficiency. Potassium deficiency, that can be lethal.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have any salt in your diet, that's definitely evil. But I was talking about iodine.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah, not in our diet. Yeah, There's no way.
Not with the way we people live our lives now. That's kind of like no chance in heck.
And then there's a big scam out there, too. People are like, oh, it's pure sea salt. Well, duh. All salt you get most likely came from the sea.
Comes from the sea.
Comes from the sea.
Where else are you going to get it?
They do
mine.
You're
going to get it out of
some
trees?
Some salt. They do. There is some salt mines, but... About 98% of all salt, table salt.
No, you know what? The salt and the salt mines originally came from the sea.
Well, yeah, probably.
Those are salt deposits from land that used to be under miles of water. Yeah. So they're just, you happen to be able to excavate them now because, hey, you know what? The planet's been changing.
Wow.
Just a scotch.
Just a scotch.
Just a little bit where what used to be underwater is now the Himalayas.
There we go.
It's still sea salt.
It's still sea salt. Now, if it's unrefined sea salt, so if it's like pure, that's fine. You want, just like in your sugars, now people realizing they want this syrup, that syrup, they want the brown sugar, they want the unrefined sugar, they want the rock sugar, the coconut sugar, they want more things in with their sweet. You want the same thing with salt. So like the Himalayan pink rock salt, it's pink, it has more nutrients in it, it has more minerals in it, and your body absorbs it better.
Yeah, that's not artificial coloring.
No.
That's natural pinkness.
No. Now, if you do see salt that has artificial pink coloring in it, it's called tinting curing mix. Never eat it, you will die. It's for making sausage.
Okay.
Just
it's good. It's good we have you here to tell us these things.
Well, I have some in my freezer, and I see some around, and some
What's
people.
What's that doing in your home?
I used to make sausages.
Well,
charcuteries at home.
You have kids in your house.
Well, no, it's in the freezer, on the way back in a vacuum sealed bag.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Like, you know what? Get it out of there. Throw it away. What's wrong with you? What about the black volcanic salt?
That's also a lot of fun. Now, ash is one of those things that is very carbon, so it has a lot of carcinogens in it. But if you pair it with corn and other things that's tough for your body to break down, the ash will help break down and help you metabolize more nutrients.
Like
from
when
your
ash
food.
Gets turned into soap.
Exactly.
It breaks down grease.
It breaks down grease.
And it breaks down other things. So think of it as corn soap.
Corn soap.
Or not.
Or
no. But you know what? If you do put it in food, it's really pretty.
It is really pretty.
Because it's little black specks. It's awesome looking.
And if you get it kind of pure or fresh, not fresh, but when you get it in its natural crystalline form, it's a little pyramid.
Aww.
They're little tiny pyramids, and it's fun to just garnish with that.
That's just really cute.
It is. It is a lot of fun.
So when you're talking about sea salt,
yeah,
don't be too terribly impressed by the price tag or the packaging that it comes in, but sea salt is going to be better for you than table salt. Don't get table salt.
Yeah, unrefined sea salt is best. Kosher salt,
unprocessed.
People...
It'll say unprocessed right on the label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kosher salt is better than table salt. But what really kosher salt has that other salts don't as much is its crystalline formation breaks down quicker. So when you're cooking with it, it gets absorbed into your food quicker. It helps you get that flavor quicker.
Isn't that good?
That's good.
Yeah.
But it's not healthier. It's just easier to use.
Yeah, I wouldn't be impressed by the name kosher unless you're impressed by the name kosher.
Exactly.
If that's your thing. I personally do like kosher salt for all of my cooking needs.
Yeah.
Except for when I'm bringing steaks to temperature before cooking. For that, I do tend to use unprocessed sea salt. Just I like the sea salt flavor the better anyway. But the fact that it's a little bit healthier, that's always nice.
It's always nice.
It's always nice if you're going to be eating a nice fatty piece of meat, you know, with great marbling, and then you're going to smear butter all over it.
Yay.
Then it's good that you're getting a little something extra.
Yeah, yeah. Use
from the salt that you've put on there.
Now, a bunch of different Himalayan salt companies sell salt plates. Those are a lot of fun where you don't salt your food at all. You heat these things up in the oven like an oven brick, and then you put your meat on it, salt cook it, and it adds a lot of great flavor. And when you take it off, it's not too salty.
Is it possible to oversalt your food using those things?
No, because the salt melts.
And I'm going to cook fish on it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I'm totally going to cook fish on it because it's fish isn't always all that great.
Yeah, it needs a little something.
You know, you're supposed to eat it, but you do so begrudgingly.
I mean, that's why they have those wood planks for fish too. Like, here, burn wood under your fish and cook it that way.
You know, most places they cook it on a grill and then they put it on a plank to serve it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cooking it on a plank.
No, they're lying.
Yeah, it's complete BS.
Yeah.
I recently saw that in an open kitchen restaurant where they had the planks all lined up there. And I was watching the cooking. No one bothered to notice this. And it was a $19 piece of salmon, a little 4-ounce
four-ounce
filet of salmon. I saw them take it off the grill and put it on the plank.
Yeah, it's silly.
And then bring it over to me.
Now, what if the plank is in the oven, if the plank is smoking a little bit, you're not really getting anything out of that.
Yeah, it's an attractive way of serving it.
Yeah, it is.
And gives you an excuse to charge more.
Now, with sea salt, avoid Dead Sea salt.
Why?
Because it has a brining. It's almost like the tinted curing mix I was talking about.
You mean it's bad for you?
It's too briny. Yeah,
too briny. People sell this for consumption?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Well, that's really, really stupid.
Yeah, it's not as bad as tinted curing mix. It won't kill you, but
it won't kill you.
Not right away.
It's not as bad as the thing that kills you. What will it do to you?
It absorbs a lot of your nutrients and helps them get out of your body. So it kind of...
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, it's not good.
Do you know how much money I spend on vitamins trying to get all those things into my body?
It'll attract the minerals in your body and help you evacuate them.
Oh, well, that's really... That is really completely suckish.
And people love it for some reason. They're like, oh, it's Dead Sea salt. I'm closer to the beginning of all
the
religions.
Word dead right in it.
You're dead. Dead.
Isn't that bad?
You cannot sink in the Dead Sea. Do you know that? It's so briny.
Yeah.
So thick.
It'll just
you lay in it,
bounce you right on top.
Without any equipment.
That means that you could fall asleep while floating on the Dead Sea, and you'll wake up. You'll be just fine.
You'll be just fine.
You might be in the middle of the Dead Sea, and then you might be in trouble. The good news is there's no predators there.
But you can take a break when swimming because you won't sink.
Any predator that could have had a chance has been completely salted, pickled, and turned into a little canned sardine.
Yep.
So... What else we can do with salt? Well, you can. What I like to use it for, and I like to use the large crystals of sea salt for this, the unprocessed kind. My favorite is to use for prepping meat before cooking. Normally, though, with most cooking, you do want to put salt in at the end of the cooking, or you'll mess up the flavor. Liquids sometimes have a tendency to reduce. You might end up with too much salt. Put it at the end.
Yeah.
For flavor, put it at the end. But with meat, you want to salt the meat well before cooking.
Yes.
Especially with beef. In marinades and stuff, that's all fine. But salt does a lot to improve the flavor of things, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Really a lot with meat. Even the best steak in the world will not be any good without some salt.
And then if you have it on there and you bring up the temperature, there's going to be some purge. So make sure to dry that meat off before you cook it so you get a proper
Oh, yeah. Dry
sear.
It off really, really well. Right. Don't worry about washing off all the salt.
No. It's done its job.
It's in there. It's been
it's done its
osmoticized
job.
Until the interior of the salt. It has invaded the meat through the process of osmosis. So it has been
osmoticized
for your benefit.
Sounds like a trendy workout for women.
So, yeah, I know. Really.
That's osmoticized.
Yeah, we're ready to go. So you get some salt, some pepper, and some béarnaise sauce. I'm getting hungry. Got any more of that balut? I'm just kidding. Yuck. When we come back from this short commercial break, a special segment for your Festivus Requestivus, a very cute title of an email we received recently, asking for more charcuterie suggestions. Charcuterie Insanity, that's coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio and staring at me like death is the very angry Marcus.
I'm getting over it. I know where you live.
I tricked him into eating balut earlier today, and if you missed that, well, you can go to the website and you can listen to the archive show because you're not going to want to miss that. That was funny as heck. So I knew I didn't have a balut. I intentionally bought myself a hard-boiled duck egg.
Yeah.
And bought you balut, and I marked it with a little dot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're a little bit more, you know, perceptive and observant than you seem. You did notice the dot.
I did totally notice the dot. I was like, yeah. Oh, that's how they know it's balut.
But the main thing that you noticed was the fact that my looked like an egg, and your egg looked like a disgusting little brain mass.
The white was rock hard.
Veiny, yellow, sectioned off egg whites. Sorry. He's getting green again. Getting green again, folks. We're going to talk about something Marcus likes to talk about to put him in a slightly better mood. And to kick off the case of the charcuterie challenge, or charcuterie for the challenged, might be a better name, I think we can turn that into a book.
Yes.
Well, that one book on how to be a more subservient wife did okay. So why not this one?
Why not this one?
Right? Like, or deli meats for dummies.
There we go.
Sliced meats for morons. No?
No.
No. So you're going to have plenty of guests over to your house for the Festivus, and they're going to want food. For much of that time, the easiest way to impress them without really doing much, well, is to get them drunk. And then the next best thing is to serve them a nice platter full of sliced meats and cheeses and olives and nuts and chutney type things, which we always enjoy. Now, in terms of meats that you want to start with, and you do want to start with the meat, because everything else goes around the meat. What are some of your favorite charcuterie meats?
Well, favorite charcuterie, easy, quick meats would be sopressata salami, prosciutto, definitely chorizo sausage, not the ones that are all broken apart and you like are
mush.
It's
a salami.
But it's chorizo salami. Yeah. And that way you got the orange red, the red, and then the full on meat, which is the prosciutto, sliced paper thin so people can grab them, have them with the cheese.
You want to get that from a good deli. You want to get the Parma.
Yeah.
Parma is by far the best one. It's the tastiest. It's one of the more expensive. There are a couple that are more expensive, but they aren't quite as tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell the butcher, the guy back there, your faithful cheese man, as I've come to call my cheese man, he's never seared me wrong. Well, he knows by looking at me. Now, when I walk up there, he automatically starts slicing prosciutto the second he sees me and slice it razor thin.
Now, if you are in a pinch, people coming over, you got to run. You're going to, a regular store, a Vons or an Albertsons. Don't buy the pre-sliced prosciutto. Have them slice it for you, or else you're never going to be able to pull it apart. Not only is them slicing it for you a better product, it's easier to use.
It sticks to the paper in those things. It'll shred.
It will shred.
You know, and well, personally, I don't care how I get it out of the bag as long as it gets into my mouth. But it also tastes much, much better.
Correct.
It's less hard.
Yeah.
Like it'll be stiff. You don't want your prosciutto to be stiff.
No.
You want it to be weak and limp and soft and wonderful and pliable.
Almost want it like a salted pork flavored air when they eat it. Very thin, very light.
It really
very
does melt in your mouth.
Yeah.
So once you have your meats, you want to put a couple of cheeses around that. And don't just go to the regular sandwich cheese section.
No.
That's a total cop out. You want room temperature brie.
Yeah, of course.
Well, when you buy it, it's going to be refrigerated, but put it out.
Put it out. Unwrap it, put it out, let it breathe, let it melt.
You want some Gouda. The normal fresh Gouda, I'm not a big fan. Get the aged.
Aged.
Aged anywhere from 3, 4, 5 years.
I love smoked Gouda. If there's a smoked cheese on your cheese plate, I am happy.
He'll eat it. He'll eat it all. Yeah. He won't leave any for you.
Oh, no.
Unlike the balut, where if you have balut, he will leave that all for you.
I will leave that all for you.
Manchego.
Manchego.
Spanish manchego cheese. Not a fan.
It's all right.
They always serve it with quince
paste.
It's
really good in sandwiches. It has that orange brine, right? That rind.
If it's good in sandwiches, it's no good.
No.
No, you want cheese to be so good that you want to eat it when it's not in a sandwich. You want it to be in pieces in a plate in front of you, and you want to go crazy about this stuff.
But this is the one you're talking about. I think I'm remembering it properly with the orange rind, right? The orange sticky rind.
It's
a really stinky brie. Like.
No, you're thinking of the wrong cheese. Manchego is mild.
Mild?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a Spanish cheese. It's just completely mild. It's meh. It's just okay. If you find a piece of cheese that does have truffles in it, buy it.
Oh, yes.
There is no cheese that does not benefit from the addition of black truffles.
Yeah.
Get that. Now, with crackers, you want to have some crackers, some crostini, some kind of thin bread, even a Triscuit is fine. Just get something. And spreads like cranberry chutney, apple butter, some weird lingonberry stuff that you got from IKEA and never got around to eating, put that out. Sweet mustards. The deli mustards that have the big seeds in them, those are nice. You know, the taste is fine, but you really want those popping little poppers in there,
exactly.
The little seeds. Dried fruits. I like the addition of soft, sweet dates and date spreads. Those are nice. I know it sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen, but butter also goes well with this type of spread. A little smear of butter on the crostini with a couple of blanched almonds and a little wedge of salami. Very, very tasty. Now, next week, we're going to have a segment on how to get rid of those pesky house guests that won't leave. But for this week, we're just going to talk about how to make them full and happy.
Full and happy.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Ahoy, everybody! SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's a thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. There's a sign above the line that says express. That means 10 items or less. Don't be a jerk.
Hungary special. Recipes acquired from many ladies named Olga. Power smoothies for health, weight loss, or just because they're yummy, the best ones. Some are going to have peanut butter in them, so you won't want to miss that. And the chocolate diet. Eat all the chocolate you want and still lose weight. Sounds crazy? It is. You can't lose weight that way. What are you thinking? Useful weight loss tips without giving up delicious food, though. That's a good one for next week. That's all next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that escargot is French for fat, crawling little bag of phlegm.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.